ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. సో రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్యాంటో 10th చాప్టర్ 85 చాప్టర్ ఎంటైటిల్డ్ లార్డ్ కృష్ణ ఇన్స్ట్రక్ట్స్ వసుదేవ్. సో వర్సెస్ 11-13. సో విల్ బి రిసైటింగ్ ద వర్స్ 11th వర్స్. భూతానామసి భూతాధిర్ ఇంద్రియానాం చ తైజసః వైకారికో వికల్పానాం ప్రధానం అనుషాయినం. భూతానామసి భూతాదిర్ ఇంద్రియానాం చ తైజసః వైకారికో వికల్పానాం ప్రధానం అనుషాయినం. భూతానామసి భూతాదిర్ ఇంద్రియానాం చ తైజసః వైకారికో వికల్పానాం ప్రధానం అనుషాయినం. వైకారికో వికల్పానాం ప్రధానం అనుషాయినం. భూతానాం భూతాదిర్ ఇంద్రియాణాం చ తైజసః ప్రధానం అనుషాయినం. భూతానామసి భూతాదిర్ ఇంద్రియాణాం చ తేజసః వైకారికో వికల్పానాం ప్రధానం అనుషాయినం. మాతాజీ భూతానామసి భూతాదిర్ ఇంద్రియాణాం చ తైజసః ప్రధానం అనుషాయినం. సో వర్డ్ టు వర్డ్ మీనింగ్, భూతానాం ఆఫ్ ద ఫిజికల్ ఎలిమెంట్స్ అసి యు ఆర్ భూత ఆదిహి దేర్ సోర్స్ false ego in the mode of ignorance. Indriyanam of the senses cha and taijasah false ego in the mode of passion. Vaikarikah false ego in the mode of goodness. Vikalpanam of the creative demigods. ప్రధానం ద అన్మానిఫెస్ట్ టోటల్ మెటీరియల్ ఎనర్జీ. అనుషాయినం అండర్లైన్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ పర్పోర్ట్ దిస్ ఓన్లీ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ ఫర్ దిస్ విచ్ ఐ విల్ రీడ్. యువర్ ఫాల్స్ ఈగో ఇన్ ద మోడ్ ఆఫ్ ఇగ్నోరెన్స్ విచ్ ఈస్ ద సోర్స్ ఆఫ్ ద ఫిజికల్ ఎలిమెంట్స్. ఫాల్స్ ఈగో ఇన్ ద మోడ్ ఆఫ్ ప్యాషన్ విచ్ ఈస్ ద సోర్స్ ఆఫ్ ద బాడీలీ సెన్సెస్. False ego in the mood of goodness, which is the source of the demigods, and the unmanifest total material energy which underlies everything. So we have verses 12 and 13, and I will read the translation and the purport of the 12th verse. You are the one indestructible entity among all the indestructible things of this world, like the underlying substance that is seen to remain unchanged while the things made from it undergo transformations. There is translation and purport by the disciples of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The modes of material nature, namely goodness, passion and ignorance, together with all their functions become directly manifest within you, the Supreme Absolute Truth, by the arrangement of your Yoga Maya purport. Vasudev's description of how the Supreme Lord expands Himself into the products of the three material modes may possibly be misunderstood to imply that He is touched by the modes, or even that He is subject to destruction. To negate these misunderstandings, Vasudev states here that the three modes and their products function by the arrangement of the Lord's creative energy, Yoga Maya, who is always completely under His control. Thus, the Lord is never tainted in the least by any material contact. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschasadeshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvise Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Lange Tegrim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam. Hare Krishna. Although unqualified, I have been instructed to perform this service, and just to follow the instruction I am sitting here. Before starting, I would like to seek blessings of all the senior Vaishnavas present here, His Grace Shyamanand Prabhu, His Grace Gaurang Prabhu, and many others who are sitting here. Kindly bless me so that I can speak something meaningful which is inspiring to the heart. So here in these verses, 11 till 13th and also previous verses, so Vasudev, he heard glories of Lord Krishna from all the sages who were assembled in the Kurukshetra. So after hearing so much opulences and greatness of Krishna, Vasudev, he was struck with awe and reverence. And in that mood, he was, you know, offering prayers to Krishna. So essentially in these two verses, he is trying to emphasize two points. The first one, Krishna is the source of everything, and Krishna is never touched by material energy. So half of this session we will try to discuss on these two subject matters, that Krishna is the source of everything and also he is not touched by the material energy. So from the point of truth or tattva, what Vasudev is speaking is correct, that Krishna is the source of everything, Krishna is not touched by the material energy. But from the point of rasa, if you see here, so it is interfering with the Vatsalya rasa. So Nanda Maharaj, he has relationship with Krishna in the Vatsalya bhava. So it is kind of interfering here. So he is now praying to Krishna in the mood of awe and reverence. So something very, very interesting here we can see. And for example, in a drama, if the actor is, you know, told to speak some dialogues, and suppose if he is speaking the dialogues out of the drama, which is not, you know, to be said in the drama, so then everyone will be embarrassed. What is he speaking? So everyone is confused. Ye kya bol raha hai? So it's like a kind of embarrassment for Krishna also. My father is glorifying me. Now although he is situated in the Vatsalya rasa, we can see that the spiritual understanding can be progressed in gradually in five different ways. For example, the first understanding, for example, in our journey of self-discovery course, we begin with these kind of sessions. So what is that? We are not this body, we are spirit soul. So that is the first fundamental, you know, knowledge which is received when we get connected to ISKCON. And then we have the session like, does God exist? That is kind of second level of understanding. Gradually there is a progression. And if you go much higher, then there is an establishment that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead among all the incarnations of Krishna, and also when it is compared to the demigods. So Krishna, establishing that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Swayam Bhagavan. And then the next higher level that comes is, I belong to Krishna. Now till now we have understood Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Now we are trying to know that, try to come to the stage that I belong to Krishna. Which is not easy to say something like that. And then the next level, I would like to explain with an example from the book of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, The Journey Home. So one time when Maharaj was in Barsana, so he was there. So one small boy came and just held onto the hand of Maharaj and took him inside, much inside internal quarters. And he came in front of the altar. And he showed to the picture of Krishna and then said, this is my God. So that is the kind of conviction and faith that boy had in saying that this is my God. So this is that next level of understanding, the progressive understanding in spirituality, that saying that this is my God, Krishna is my God. So this is the mood of the Vrajvasis, you know, spontaneous and natural. So Gita's wisdom also, if you take, it is also ultimately coming to this spiritual summit. If you consider this example, this verse from Bhagavad Gita 10.8, Aham sarvasya prabho, matta sarvam pavardate, iti matva bhajante mam, buddha bhava samanvitaha. So if you see here, initial part of this verse, Krishna is telling that he is the source of everything, material, spiritual, everything. Like Bhagavatam, first verse also speaks on this subject matter. Janma diyasya. So, Krishna is the source of everything. Creation, maintenance and destruction. So this verse, in the beginning, Krishna is also telling that I am the source of everything. Then gradually, if you see at the end, he is telling, you should perform, knowing this, after having this understanding of my greatness, that I am the source of everything, you should come to a point of worshipping me with your full heart, with full emotions, with full feelings for me. So that is the second part of this verse. Knowledge and then the worshipping with the feeling part. So we can see, the first thing is that understanding Krishna's greatness leads to humility. So when we have this understanding that Krishna is supreme, he has so many opulences, he is so great, and all the nine cantos in Srimad Bhagavatam we discuss about this fact, how Krishna is great. And the second understanding is, understanding his sweetness, which will lead to affection for Krishna. That is the second part of the coin. So it is important that, you know, knowing the greatness of Krishna, but on the same time, we should also try to make an endeavor to develop that sweetness, you know, affectionate worship for Krishna. Chaitanya Charan Prabhu nicely puts up this point. He says, bring the moment of emotion into the moment of meditation. So bringing the moment of emotion in the moment of meditation. So meditation for what? For us is like chanting Hare Krishna mantra every day. You know, performing various services, dancing in Guru Puja. So if you feel strongly about something, then we can think about it easily and quickly. Suppose if you are contemplating every day on one particular thing, then that becomes very natural and easy for us. So similarly, when we bring this emotion part also in our daily sadhana, then it will help us to become, then our process of devotional service will become easier and natural for us. Of course, if you go on to the one extreme that just displaying emotions, false emotions, then it can turn to sahajiya, sahajayaism. So the point I'm trying to make is, apart from the understanding that Krishna is great, he is the Supreme Lord, so let us try to bring this momentum of emotion also in our devotional activities. So that is what this verse is trying to speak about. Buddha bhava samanvitaha. So Krishna is not just an object to be known with our head. He is also a person to be loved with our heart. So that is the point. And for example, when we are chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, if you really want to make it exciting and fulfilling, then we have to bring these emotions in our chanting. So I was just going through the 10th canto, the teachings of Queen Kunti. In one of the verses, 26 verse, Janmaishwarya Shruta Shubhir. In that purport, Prabhupada is wonderfully explaining about this part, the part, feeling part. He says, in the Shastras, that it is mentioned that by uttering the holy name of the Lord, the sinner gets rid of the quantity of sins that he is unable to commit. And Prabhupada says that this is not an exaggeration. Then he says, such is the power of uttering the holy name of the Lord, and the Lord's holy name has such powerful potency. But, and this but is very important, he says, but there is a quality to such utterances also. It depends on the quality of feeling. A helpless man can feelingly utter the holy name of the Lord, whereas a man who utters the same holy name in great material satisfaction cannot be so sincere. So Prabhupada is emphasizing, apart from attentive chanting, you know, focusing on the pronunciation and hearing part, he is also telling that gradually we should also try to develop this feeling part, then it will make our heart fulfilling. So similarly, in whatever devotional activities we perform, so we should try to do as much wholeheartedly as possible. And one time we were in Pune with our IYS boys, and Bal Govind Prabhu was giving the session. So he asked this question to all the boys. He said, what is the difference between a sincere and a serious devotee? So then no one answered. So then he said, sincere devotee is a devotee who performs all the devotional activities properly every day without fail, chanting 16 rounds every day, performing various services nicely, you know, following the authority. That is a sincere devotee. Then who is a serious devotee? The serious devotee is also doing the same activities every day. What is the difference? The difference is that he is putting his whole heart into it. So that is a serious devotee. You know, trying to do it with whole heart into the process. So that is a serious devotee. You know, putting our emotions into our devotional activities. So that is the first part we try to discuss, that how Krishna's greatness, if it is mixed with feelings and affection of love for Krishna, it can give fulfillment for the heart. And the second part which Vasudeva was offering in his prayers was, Krishna is not touched by Maya. So there are many verses in Srimad Bhagavatam itself, you know, describing about this fact, that how Krishna is not touched by the external energy Maya. So 10th canto, 87th verse, 87th chapter, 38th verse, in the section where the prayers are being offered by the personified Vedas, so there the explanation is given, the relationship between Jiva and Krishna and with Krishna and Maya. It's nicely explained in this verse. The translation says, the illusory material nature attracts the minute living entity to embrace her, and as a result he assumes forms composed of her qualities. Subsequently he loses all his spiritual qualities and must undergo repeated birth and death. Yesterday Gaurang Darshan Prabhu was explaining this fact, how the Jiva, when he falls into this material world, he assumes various forms based on the combination of different modes of material nature. 20% goodness, 30% passion, 50% ignorance. So various combinations a Jiva can have, and based on that he is assuming various forms, 84 lakh species in this material world, and repeatedly going into the cycle of birth and death. And now the Vedas, they are telling to Krishna, you, however, avoid the material energy in the same way that a snake abandons its old skin. Glorious in your possession of 8 mystic perfections, you enjoy unlimited opulences. So there is an analogy which is given here, snake, analogy of a snake. Just as a snake casts aside his old skin, you know, the snake leaves its old skin, knowing that it is not part of his essential identity. It is not the part of its body. So it is leaving the skin. Similarly, the Supreme Lord always avoids his external material energy. So see, Krishna is not directly involved or concerned about what the material energy is doing in this material world. Although he is cognizant of all these things, he is not directly interfering. But he knows everything. Another example is also mentioned in the section where Nanda Maharaj was kidnapped by Varunadev. And at that time, when Lord Balram and Krishna comes there, so Varuna understands that they are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he offers beautiful prayers. Namastubhyam Bhagavate Brahmane Paramatmane Na Yatra Shuyate Maya Lokasriti Vikalpana. He says, my obeisance unto you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Soul, within whom there is no trace of the illusory energy. So here also the same point is being emphasized, that how Krishna is aloof, he is not affected by the material energy. And how Krishna is not touched by Maya, we have two beautiful analogies to discuss. First one is, which is mentioned in 5.18.38, how Lord influences Maya. So there, a magnet is kept, and in front of the magnet, iron filings are kept. So when the magnet is moved, so with the effect of the movement of the magnet, the iron filings are also moving. So here in this analogy we can see the magnet is not directly in contact with the iron filings. Isn't it? It is away, it is in a distance place, but it has the ability to move the iron filings. The similar way, so the Lord is working through the material energy in this material world, but he is not directly in contact with the material energy. We have heard and discussed many times how by the glance of the Lord, he impregnates the material energy with the living entities. So there is no direct contact. So here there is an absence of contact, but there is a movement. So maya dakshena prakriti suyatesa characharam. So Krishna, under Krishna's direction, the material energy is working, although there is no direct contact. So that is one analogy. Another analogy is that of sun controlling the solar machines. We have many solar machines in our Govardhan Eco Village. So we know how it works. So solar energy is falling on the panels, solar panels, and it is, you know, creating that energy. But there is no direct contact between the sun and the solar panel. But the rays are falling on the solar panel, and that is how it is generating the energy. And this is the relationship between Krishna and the material energy. She is moving under the direction of Krishna, but at the same time, there is no direct contact. Now in this verse, if you see, Vasudeva is using the word yoga maya. So, in Bhagavad Gita also Krishna uses this word yoga maya. So yoga maya is sometimes used as external energy, and sometimes it is used as the internal energy of the Lord also. So if you see this word, interesting word, yoga maya. Maya is that which is not. It's an illusion, isn't it? On the other side, the word yoga signifies union with the Lord. So it is kind of contradicting words actually. Yoga and maya, both are contradicting. So these kind of words, the compound word which is consisting of two different words which gives different meanings, opposite meanings, such a word is called oxymoron. So yogma is also that kind of word which is being used here in this context. But it is not contradicting, because yogmaya, her purpose is to unite the jiva with the soul and to increase that exchange of love between the devotees and the Lord. That is what the purpose of yogmaya is. Actually, there is only one energy, yogmaya, but again that Yogmaya is expanding into material energy, Mahamaya. One energy, again expanding into another energy. But Yogmaya and Mahamaya, they are one, simultaneously one and different also. Achintya Bhedabhed Tattva, Prabhupada says. How? The purpose is, Yogmaya, it is trying to enhance the loving relationship between Krishna and his devotees, trying to fulfill the purpose of Krishna. On the other side, Mahamaya, she is tormenting the jiva with threefold miseries, different kinds of kleshas, so that a jiva gets frustrated in this material world. Till the point he says, enough. Enough is enough now. Bas, bhot ho gaya. I would like to pray to Krishna that this kind of statement also come in my life when I would be telling this statement, enough, bhot ho gaya. Let me surrender to Krishna seriously. So only when we say that and surrender to Krishna, we will be liberated from the clutches of Mahamaya. Till then we are under the, you know, direction of Mahamaya. So Prabhupada gives this wonderful example of how Krishna adjusts his different energies. An electrical engineer who by adjusting the electricity, he can convert, he can heat up a coil. On the other side, he can cool the room also. So by making some small adjustments and transformations, that is what Krishna can also do. This is what Yogamaya is trying to fulfill also. She is also working in the same lines. So, it is clear that we are under illusion. So we need to decide under whose illusion we want to be. Yogamaya or Mahamaya. And I heard in one of the classes by Gaura Hari Prabhu, he was referring to a class of Gopi Parandan Prabhu. He was quoting from Bhagavad Gita, 15th chapter, 15th verse. Sarvasya chaham ridhi sannivishto matta smitir jnanam apohanam cha. So there he made a point that, you know, here Krishna, he is the giver of both forgetfulness and remembrance. So how Krishna gives forgetfulness, that is very interesting. So Mahamaya, she is giving forgetfulness to the conditioned living entities of this world. How? By making him forget the miseries of this material world. By having an understanding of the deep understanding of the miseries of this material world. So she is making him forgetful in that way. The same way, she can also make us forgetful in a very positive way. For example, if you really want to chant attentively in our chant, during our japa, forgetting all our other agendas or future plans, and if you really show sincerity, maybe Krishna, through the agency of Yogamaya, she will make us forget this also and make us only focus on the attentive chanting of the holy names. And suppose we have a very not proper relationship with some devotee. We are finding difficulty with some devotee. And we know what is the solution. We should try to focus on the good qualities of devotees, which is very difficult to do. But, so, just to focus on the good qualities of the devotees, we need to forget the other aspects which are shortcomings or weaknesses in the devotee. So that forgetfulness can also be given by Krishna. So he was trying to explain from this verse how this forgetfulness can help us in our devotional service also. Forgetfulness of the unfavorable things in our devotional service. So, we have many examples in our scriptures wherein the Yogmaya is wonderfully acting and we can see the presence of Yogmaya, the agency of Krishna. One such example is of Parikshit Maharaj. So Parikshit Maharaj was cursed to die in 7 days. So we can see the episode before this episode, like what happened previous to that. So because of the hunger and thirst, he put a snake around a sage, Shamik Rishi, and he was cursed by the son of Shamik Rishi, Sringi. So on the other side, when Parikshit Maharaj left everything and went on the banks of the river to seek, you know, the next step I should take, what should a person do at the time of the death? So at that time we can see how Parikshit Maharaj was wrapped attentively in complete absorption he was hearing the Bhagavatam class from Sukadeva Goswami. So at that time he was not tormented with hunger and thirst. Isn't it? Very strange. So we can see how for 7 days he could able to absorb himself in Krishna Katha. So Krishna was helping him through the agency of Yogamaya to forget the miseries that can be caused by the hunger and thirst at that time. So we can see how Yogamaya is acting on the pure devotee in this particular example. We can also see the example of Srila Prabhupada in his last moments, where he was just left with bones and skin, nothing. But still at that time he was able to give purports to the Bhagavatam verses. Such a consciousness. So he was completely out of this bodily experience. He was completely, not this body kind of experience. So we can see how Krishna is orchestrating through his pure devotees, how he can act through his agency of Mahamaya by making him forget the miseries that are caused by the material energy. One example I remembered, which His Grace Gaurang Prabhu has quoted many times. So one of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, he left the movement at that time and he got so bored with the same Hare Krishna mantra, same process, same devotees, seeing them every day. He left everything and went to his old life, of old habits. So he used to do surfing in the ocean, and many of you know this story, but still I will tell. So one time he was surfing in the ocean, so he came across shark, deadly shark, and there was no historical account wherein anyone survived the attack of the shark in that ocean. No one ever survived, but he came across the shark. And because he was a devotee before, so Krishna gave him all the prayers or whatever. So he started his morning program in front of the shark. Mangalarti, Narsingarti, and then Tulsi Arti, everything. But still the shark was there. So what to do now? So then finally he submitted himself to Krishna and said, Krishna, if you protect me, I will definitely come back to temple again and start my devotional life. So as soon as he said that prayer, the shark circumambulated him and went away. Probably the only case in the history when someone survived the attack from the shark. So we can see here how Krishna was helping this devotee through the agency of Yogamaya, protecting his devotional life, trying to bring him back to the path of spirituality, path of devotional service. And many examples of Srimad Bhagavatam itself, like the transcendental wives of Lord Sri Krishna did not completely know the unfathomable glories of the Lord. Even the queens of Krishna, they didn't know Krishna completely. So this ignorance is not mundane. It's not an ignorance. Because there is some action of Yogamaya, internal potency of the Lord, in the exchange of feelings between Krishna and his eternal associates. Even the queens of Krishna in Dwarka, they were forgetful of the whole complete knowledge of Krishna's opulences. And if you see, Yogamaya is very much active in Golok Vrindavan, orchestrating different pastimes between Krishna and his devotees. And in spiritual world, Yogamaya is called as Paurnamashi, the grandmother of Madhumangal. So we can see in the spiritual world, especially Golok Vrindavan, Krishna, he plays fully by the potency of Yogamaya. He plays exactly like an equal friend with the cowherd boys. And he can play even with friends like Arjuna. He plays exactly like a son in the presence of Yashoda Mai. Now this thinking of Mother Yashoda, that I need to feed my Krishna, I need to feed Krishna my milk, I need to protect Krishna from all the evils, I need to punish Krishna because he has become naughty, is all under the spell of Yogamaya. So in the spiritual world, especially in Golok Vrindavan, the Aishwarya Bhav is covered with the deep affection of the devotees for Krishna there. So Krishna, he exactly plays like a lover in the presence of cowherd damsels. He plays exactly like a husband in the presence of queens of Dwarka. So such devotees, they never think of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but exactly think Him like a friend, a son, and a lover, very much dear to heart and soul. So one example which came to my mind, which I thought I will discuss, one of the pastimes from Krishna Leela, Brahmand Leela. So there, the pastime is something like this. Balram and all the other cowherd boys, they come to Yashoda Mai to complain about Krishna. Probably this is the only pastime wherein Balram ji was on the opposite side of Krishna. He did not even took part in the war of Mahabharata, you know, because Krishna was on the other side and he cannot be on the side of Duryodhan, his favorite disciple. So here Balram was also against Krishna. So Balram with all the other cowherd boys, they came to Yashoda Mai to complain that Krishna ate mud. So then Yashoda Mai brings Krishna in front and asks him, did you eat the mud? So Krishna says, no, I didn't. So then Krishna tells, okay, you can check in my mouth if you have any doubts. Then Krishna opens his mouth and shows to Mother Yashoda. So what Mother Yashoda sees is, it's like a direct YouTube video of all the Brahmand. The whole picture, even after reading so many scriptures, it is very difficult to come to this conclusion, which Krishna showed in one instance. Everything. She could able to see mountains, so many oceans, big oceans. She was able to see the Pradhan, Mahatattva, universes emanating from Mahavishnu. And she was also seeing herself in the mouth of Krishna. So such a graphical display of the opulences of Krishna in the mouth of little Krishna. So when Yashoda Mai saw this, she became very respectful to Krishna. Suddenly the bhav changed and she started offering prayers to Krishna. My dear Bhagwan, you know, please forgive me. Till now I was thinking that I am your mother, but you are the mother and father of everything. I am just referring from one of the lectures of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. So sometimes when you would steal the butter, I would punish you by stick. And sometimes I would chastise you, but now I know that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Please forgive me and accept me as your servant. But Krishna got bewildered. So there is a rasa bhas now. The Vatsala Rasa is going behind now. The Aishwarya Bhava is coming in front. And immediately Krishna closes his mouth and smiles at Mother Yashoda. And again, by the influence of Yoga Maya, Mother Yashoda forgets everything. And she immediately, now she tells Krishna, let me feed you my milk. So that is kind of covering with the which the city residents of Vrindavan, they get by the effect of Yoga Maya. This is just to enhance the loving exchanges between Krishna and his devotees. Like that. But here in this verse, 11 till 13 verse, which we have read today, Vasudeva, when heard about Krishna's opulences from the sages, he got affected with awe and reverence. And he started glorifying Krishna. But this is not the case in Golok Vrindavan. Sometimes in Vrindavan, Golok Vrindavan, there is a competition between Krishna and his devotees. Krishna sometimes agrees to be defeated. So this is also Krishna's internal energy, Yoga Maya, by which Krishna agreed to be bound by Mother Yashoda. Many times after killing so many, you know, demons in Vrindavan, immediately Krishna, he doesn't make a show of this. So he makes a low profile of himself, keep himself at a low position, as if nothing has happened. So now after killing the demons, Subal will come and ask Krishna, Krishna, did you kill this demon? Are you the same Krishna whom I defeated in wrestling? So Krishna says, yes, I am that same Krishna. And again Krishna gets defeated by the cowherd boyfriends in the wrestling match. So Krishna likes to get defeated by his devotees. That is the act of Yoga Maya in pure devotee's life. And there is a verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, which says, This yogamaya potency creates a spiritual sentiment in the minds of the damsels of Vraja, by which they think of Lord Krishna as their paramour. Now if you see the example of Ras Leela or the example of Yagyik Brahmins, the wives of Yagyik Brahmins, so we can understand that when gopis came to see Lord Krishna in the middle of the night, and when Yagyik Patnis also came to see Krishna, leaving everything away, so it was only by the agency of Yoga Maya that the family members did not check them when they returned back, isn't it? So there is a probability that they would question the gopis, where were you? Where did you go at such a dead of night? So that was the act of Yoga Maya in the lives of the pure devotees of the Lord, just to enhance the exchange, loving exchanges between devotee and Krishna. And sometimes Yoga Maya also makes even the Lord forget himself, that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also to enhance the exchange of love between the devotees and the Lord. So one example which I recollect is from the Ramayana. So one time when after Sita was kidnapped, so Lord Ram was along with Lakshman, he was wandering in the forest. He was crying for Sita. Oh Sita, Sita. So Mother Parvati and Shiva, they were also wandering in the sky. They were moving in the sky at that time. So when they saw this crying of Ram, Lord Ram, Mother Parvati got the doubt. Is he the same Lord? Is crying like an ordinary personality? She wanted to test. So Shiva, he warns her, but she says, let me try. She comes down and she disguises herself in the form of Mother Sita and comes in front of Lord Ram. And as soon as Lord Ram sees this, he says, my dear Mother Parvati, what are you doing here alone in the forest? So it is not that Krishna is coming under the influence of Yoga Maya. It doesn't mean that he loses his position of Supreme Personality of Godhead. No, he is all the same. His energies are acting by his own sweet will. So what is the meaning of the energy if the energy is not in support of you? trying to overtake you. So like that. And one more example, like when Mother Yashoda chastised Lord Krishna with a stick in her hand for being so naughty, Krishna became fearful. The same Krishna whom the fear personified fears, here the Krishna is becoming fearful of Mother Yashoda by seeing the stick in her hand. So does it mean that Krishna is acting here, thoda act kar lete, like people act in drama? So no, it is not acting. Actually Krishna is so absorbed in that leela that he forgot himself, that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the sweetness aspect of Krishna. So Mother Yashoda, she is also present in the Mayapur Dham as proud Maya along with the Shiva. So when Jiva Goswami was traveling with Lord Nityanand Prabhu, they were doing the parikrama of Navdi parikrama. At that time he shows this place of proud Maya and Vriddha Shiva, that after Mahaprabhu disappears from this world, everything will be covered and they will protect the dham. Proud Maya and Vriddha Shiva, they will protect the dham. Basically she protects the dham from the envious demoniac people, and she also facilitates the devotees who are very sincere to perform devotional activity nicely in the dham of Mayapur. So this is the twofold service which Proud Maya is doing in Navdeep Dham. Another aspect of the covering potency of the Lord is that the Lord is not approachable by everyone because he is curtained by his Yoga Maya potency. Bhagavad Gita 7.25, Naham Prakasha Sarvasya Yoga Maya Samamrita. So Krishna reserves the right of being exposed to anyone and everyone, not being exposed to everyone and anyone. So no one can understand Krishna without his revealing himself to us. We have this example when Krishna was there in the material world. So many people saw the great opulences of Krishna, the great power of Krishna, great strength of Krishna, But even after seeing that, they could not able to understand Krishna. Because Krishna covered himself from them. Duryodhan saw the Virat Rupa of Krishna, but still he could not able to understand Krishna. Jarasan, who fought several times with Krishna, got defeated. But still he could not able to understand the greatness of Krishna. So Krishna covered himself from these kind of demoniac and atheistic people. That is one covering of Yoga Maya upon the atheistic and demonic people. So in our discussion we try to understand that we have to be under some kind of illusion, whether Mahamaya or Yoga Maya. We have to choose. So only a sincere person who is serious, sincere and free from ulterior motives and who want to serve Krishna in a manner pleasing to Krishna, such a soul can, by the mercy of Krishna, can come under the influence of Yoga Maya. And all the illusions that we are carrying in our hearts will be dispelled. So one such example I remembered from Bhagavatam, when Dhruva Maharaj, he was fighting with the Yakshas. So they created mystic asuric powers and illusioned Dhruva Maharaj. And at that time the several sages, they advised Dhruva Maharaj to chant the holy names of the Lord, and which he did also. So by chanting the holy names of the Lord, all kinds of illusions that we are carrying in our heart, which are not favorable to Krishna consciousness, they can be dispelled in a moment. That is the power of the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, forgetting all other things and focusing on one particular aspect of devotional service, whether it be chanting, serving the Lord and the devotees, any service, doing kirtan. So, if you try to sincerely remember that and do with love and affection for Krishna, then Krishna makes us forgetful of all the unwanted things that can disturb our devotional service. I remembered many times His Grace Vraj Vihari Prabhu telling this. So during the chanting, we generally make plans. We get very good ideas. We feel as if we have to keep a notepad and pen and write it down. Then he said, if Krishna gives such ideas during our chanting, why will he not give such even more wonderful ideas when you chant attentively after your japa? He can give that. He has the ability, he can give. So I just request and pray that tomorrow is the Janmashtami. So I'm not at all qualified to speak just one day before Janmashtami. But just to follow the instruction of Baldev Prabhu, I'm sitting here and I try to speak something from Bhagavatam. Please forgive me for any... the subject matter is very esoteric. But I think it will definitely help a sadhaka also. You know how we can bring the effect of Yoga Maya in our lives by becoming sincere as well as serious devotees. Please forgive me if I have spoken anything beyond my realizations, and accept. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki.